Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 1. Exodus, chapter 3, verse 1. Exodus, chapter 3, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, and even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We do thank you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people, as your church, Lord. And we know that where two or three are gathered together in your name, we know that you are in our midst. And so we thank you for your great faithfulness. We thank you for your heart for the church and your desire to want to build her for your honor and glory. May you bless each and every one of us tonight. Open up our hearts and minds that we might hear from you. And Lord, we'll thank you for that. May you be honored and glorified in worship tonight. And then, Lord, may our lives be edified. And may we be strengthened in the faith that you've given to us, that we might be your witnesses of your great grace. Bless and we'll thank you, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply Meeting with God. Meeting with God. I just try to pull something from the verses, but tonight it's Meeting with God. I think it's an important truth here. And let me ask you this question. Does God want to meet with his redeemed? All right. How do we know God wants to meet with his people? How do we know that? All right. Yep. He tells us. Where does he tell us that at? In the Word of God, right? In the Bible. So God tells us that he wants to meet us, right? He wants to walk with us. He wants to show us the way, the truth, and the life. He wants to do all these wonderful things. And so here's really maybe a better question. Maybe the question. Do we as God's people want to meet with him? That might be the better question. Because we know he wants to meet with us. So the question is, do we want to meet with him? Well, three truths tonight that we'll consider that are important for us as we walk on this side of eternity. If we want to meet with God, God works the same today, yesterday, and forever, right? He's always the same. He doesn't change. And so as we consider our text, let me back you up here to verse 1 in Exodus chapter 3. And I want to just look at three thoughts tonight. I want to see the mountain of God tonight, and then the Lord's appearance, and then the Lord's interests, what he's interested in. A lot of times maybe we want to tell God what we're interested in, but God wants to tell us also what he's interested in and how this all works in our lives. So let's consider the mountain of God, and we can also call this the place where God can be found, right? When you consider, if you want to meet with God, it would be a good idea to go where God's at. Wouldn't you say so? And him being God, we ought to be going to him not coming to us, although he never leaves us nor forsakes us. We thank the Lord for that. But we ought to seek the Lord and go where he can be found. So notice what's happening here. And I know in this day and age, life is busy. Busy. It is busy, isn't it? Busier. Is it busier than it was in the past? Do you think so? Or have we just found things to preoccupy ourselves? Has technology just kind of, you know, breaks now, so we got to fix it more? There were simpler days, but I don't know that there were easier days because everybody would get up real early in the morning and take care of things and then go to work after that, right? And take care of other things as well. I don't know which is busier. I know we have a lot of things that pull for our time. But I'm trying to say, I think that was always the case. There was always things that were pulling for time in life, on this side of eternity. And so let's take notice here, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. So he's working. He's busy. He's about his business, right? He's taking care of this. We know that he worked for, he was out there for 40 years. So he was good at his job. He knew what he was doing. And no doubt he was faithful at the work that he was doing. And notice this, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. So if you weren't sure if he was working before, you surely know it now when he's leading the flock. He's working with the flock, and he's leading the flock on the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, the mountain of God. You know what that means? That's where God's at. So in our everyday workaday life and all of the responsibilities and all of the things that we have to carry, it's important that we go where God's at. Well, today, where would we find the Lord? In the Bible, right? We would find God in the Word of God. We would find also the Lord in prayer, right? So let me ask you this. Can you pray when you're working? Of course you can. Of course you can. You can pray when you're working. Lord, guide me to honor you in what I'm doing. Even though it's in the world, let me be an honor and a glory to your name. It's a good thing to ask the Lord to empower our lives, right, for his grace and mercy to be in and through our lives, that we might be abiding in him so that everything we do and say glorifies God. And so Moses had an interest here, and so notice what happens here. This is meeting with God, and here we find Moses at work, and he's wanting to see what's going on here. Look at verse 2. So he's at the place where he can find God, at the mountain of God. Verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. Now, he really didn't know that it was God. He just knew he was at the mountain of God. And he probably thought, look, I'm at the mountain of God. I've been told this is the mountain of God. And maybe that's the Lord. Maybe, obviously, it's not natural. It's supernatural. Here's a bush that's on fire, and it's not burning up. So from where he was at, he could see that was something unique. That was something different. Hey, may I share and remind us of all this? God is unique. Is he not? There's no other God like our God. In fact, there is no other God but our God. I know that might offend some people, but only because they don't know God. There's only one creator. There's only one savior, one redeemer, and one lover of our souls. And that's our God. And so he wants to get our attention. And so we find here the angel of the Lord appears to him in the flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now, watch this first step here as we consider the Lord's appearance. Notice he was at the right place, and guess what happened? God showed up, didn't he? He showed up. Listen, mark this, and so be it according to our faith. When you open up the Word of God, you are in the place where God is at. When you pray, you are in the place where God hears as a child of God. Mark it down. God's going to meet with us. God's going to meet with us. Now, listen, the flesh will tell you one thing. The world will tell you something else. The flesh will tell you this. Well, you don't expect to meet with God every time you open up the Word of God. Do you? Do you? I do. Amen. I want to. And he will. And so, Lord, every time I open up the Word of God, not only do I want to hear from you, but listen, I need to hear from you, or it's not going to make sense to me. I am just as powerless without God as I was the day before I got saved. Just as powerless. I need God, in fact, more so now to guide me, because before I was my own boss. And then God bought me with a price, didn't he? And now I want to be careful to follow the Lord and to be where he wants me to be. All right. So here we find Moses at the place where God is at. And because of that, the angel of the Lord appears to him in this flame of fire. He's going to bless Moses because he was at the right place. God got his attention and he gave himself towards it. And so Moses says in verse 3, Moses said, I will now... Not later, not tomorrow, not next Monday. I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Now watch this. This gets good. Now look, this is what pleases the Lord, right? In the Lord's appearance, we find why the Lord really appeared to Moses. He took time to seek God, didn't he? He says, was he working? Was Moses working? He was working. Now, he didn't slough off his responsibility, but being where he was at, he was also able to go ahead and see what this was all about. And so he went out, and when God saw that, notice what happens right here in verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, what did God do? He called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here am I. Was Moses in a good place? He was in a great place, wasn't he? Do you know that God has not changed? Do you believe that? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so now as we consider this, he's calling out to Moses. So we find here the mountain of God. This is the place where God can be found. Meeting with God is a title. The Lord's appearance, he appears whenever we go to the place where the Lord can be found, he will appear. Now, determined based upon how far we're willing to go and investigate and believe that the Lord's going to be there, the Lord's going to watch to see if we'll turn aside. So sometimes we can go where the Lord is at, and we can just read the Bible, and we can say, Or we can say, wait a minute. God wrote that to me, for me to understand more about his grace and my relationship. See, now I'm turning aside. I'm not just reading a historical book, although there's history here. I'm not reading a poetical book, although there's poetry in here. But listen, I'm coming to meet with the Lord. I want to turn aside, and I don't want to just read words on a page. I want to hear from God. I'm seeking to find out the Lord. And so when he saw that, when the Lord saw that, God called him. He says, now we're going to go to another level. Now I want you to hear from me. See, you were at the right place. And because you were at the right place, I was able to get your attention. And you had your focus on me. And since you were wanting to see what it meant for you and for me, when we look to the Word of God, what does this mean? How does this apply, Lord? How does this work in my life? Now the Lord says, okay. Now you've gone to another level. We're not just reading the Word of God for the sake of reading the Word of God. We're trying to hear from the Lord, and what is it that you're doing? What is it that you have to say? So he says, now I'm going to show you what I'm interested in. So here are the things that God's interested in. Ready? The holiness of God. Does God want us to understand the holiness of God? Absolutely. He's not just our friend around the corner. He's Almighty God. And then he also wants us to know about the deliverance of God's people. Question, does God want to deliver his people? You sure? Does God want to deliver his people? Absolutely. He wants to deliver us from sin. He's delivered our souls eternally as a saved child of God, but he also wants to deliver us from ourselves and from sin. And then also the Lord is interested in his power, God's power on his people, is he not? If you abide in me and I abide in you, you'll bear fruit. You'll bear more fruit. You'll bear much fruit. All right. So very quickly, we're going to run through these verses. Verse 5, and here's what it says. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. This is new to Moses. Let's not just think that Moses knew that. He didn't. God said, I want you to know there is a distance between us. I'm speaking to you, Moses. I do love you, but please never lose your reverence for who I am. Take off the things that are passing through this world, that are tainted with the dirt from this world, and recognize and realize who you are approaching. Don't ever forget that. See, listen, you know, we've got some people, the big man upstairs. That tells me they don't know the Lord. And by the way, when we got some crazy things going on, it almost seems like people don't take... Now, listen, I don't think you have to wear specific things, right? But I think we ought to show, like, you know, Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy, Lord, of my best for you. Now, but we need to be careful, though, that doesn't keep us from seeking the Lord, because he does take us as we are. We don't have to put on airs, and we don't have to, right? But we want to approach, and by the way, the best apparel that we can wear for God is a right heart before the Lord. It's not the exteriors. It's the right heart. Lord, I need to keep myself right before you in a sense of confessing my sins that I might be able to enter into your presence. And so here Moses is walking and he's approaching the Lord, and the Lord's telling him, I want you to know I'm concerned about my righteousness. And then he said, verse 6, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father. So now he says, I want you to have the right kind of reverence for me. And now I want to remind you who I am. I've been involved in your family for some time. And I have an interest in you for some time. He said, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Remember, this is the account where the Lord mentioned to the Sadducees who did not believe in the resurrection and said, listen, you do err not knowing the scriptures. Now, the question, did the Sadducees read the scriptures? Absolutely, they read it. But you know how they read it? Well, that's a good historical fact. They weren't planning on meeting with the Lord. So therefore, listen, the Sadducees who were engrossed in the scriptures missed a whopper, amen, that they should have never missed. Why did they miss it? The way they approached the Lord. It was just a matter of crossing the T's and dotting the I's. It wasn't personal with them. In other words, I got my plans and God fits into my mold. Really? Is that how it works? Listen, God can't fit into our mold. Listen, God's thoughts, oh my goodness, that just overloaded my brain. Listen, he's had more thoughts than the whole world put together. Yeah. and so listen, when we stop to just slow down and realize who he is, I need the Lord, even though I can read for myself what the Bible is saying, I need the Lord to open up my heart to understand it and not miss what he's trying to say. Again, the Sadducees, who were very familiar with the scriptures, Jesus had to tell them, God had to tell them, you do greatly err not knowing the scriptures. He didn't say you missed something. He says, you don't know the scriptures. You know why? You know why they don't know the scriptures? Because they miss God himself. How can you say you know the Bible and don't know God? How can you say that? And so, he's saying, I want you to know who I am. God wants us to know who he is. So he says this. He says, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you think Moses ever heard before that he's of the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Do you think Moses ever heard that before? Absolutely, he did. Of course he did. He knew who he was worshiping, but never like this. Never like this. He heard that before, but when God told him who he was fearful. And rightly so. And rightly so. Reverence, right? A reverence. Listen, God just put to fruition that which he was taught and believed. But when God steps on the scene, wow. That changes everything. Listen, there are the Word of God. There are things in there that we've heard people preach on and teach on. But may we always, no matter how familiar the Scriptures are, enter it with reverence and fear, and expecting to hear from God to illuminate that to us. I'm convinced. There is no doubt in my mind. Abraham told Isaac, and Isaac told Jacob and Esau, and Jacob told his children, and his children told their children who God was. And Moses knew who he was, but not like this. Was that a new way? It was a personal way with him and God. That's a good place. Look at verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. He's telling him, I know all the details, for I know their sorrows, plural, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, The cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. So notice this, he says, I want you to know what my will is. I want to take them out of slavery, out of bondage, into freedom, but to a specific location. I want to bring them into a specific location, into this promised land. Question, did the Lord reveal there were enemy in the land? Listen, you and I have been delivered once and forever from the world and our sin, have we not? But wait a minute. Do we still deal with the flesh, the world, and the devil? He knows the enemy is here. And God has not forsaken us. He says, I know the plan. Trust me in this. Don't listen to the world. Well, if God was really God, he wouldn't have made evil. They don't understand free choice. They don't understand that God wants us to choose whether or not we love him or whether we don't love him. They just think we ought to be like robots. I wouldn't want to be a robot, would you? I would want to make every decision based upon what I want to do. And God has created us that way. And so those who simply reject the Lord, that's because they want to reject the Lord because they love darkness more than they do the truth and the light. So the Lord says, I want you to know what I'm about. He says, I want you to know what I'm interested in. And so he tells them, this is what I want to do. I want to free them. And notice what he says here. Ready? Verse 10. Come now, therefore, now, not tomorrow, now, and I will send thee to Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, this was not anything really new to Moses. He didn't just unload on Moses something new. He was trying to free, he was trying to take the side of Israel before he left Egypt, remember? When he fought with the Egyptian and killed him. He knew what the Lord wanted from him. But see, he was doing it in the strength of the flesh before. Now God got him in a place where he could be quiet and not get in front of the Lord and let the Lord lead. So of course we know the story. He's got some second ideas here. Moses does, but I want you to know the Lord's plan never changed. It was just the order of God's plan. Now God's leading on this. And God wants to lead in our lives. And what we need to do is say, hey Lord, I don't know how to do this. Oh, yeah, you do. Sure, you do. You just tell people about Jesus. Just tell people about Jesus. No, Lord. I don't know how to do this. Here's what I know, God. I know I need you or nobody's going to get saved. Yeah, I can go out there and tell all kinds of people about Jesus, but is God going to save them? Are they going to get saved? And you can say, well, maybe some will, maybe some won't. But wait a minute. What happened when the Lord sent the church during the first century, during Pentecost? Were people getting saved? By hundreds and thousands? So let's ask this question. Has God changed? Of course he hasn't. So what's changed? I know how to do this, God. Sit back. Watch this. No. Lord, we need you, God. I don't want to be a powerless church. I don't want to be a powerless believer. He sent us as ambassadors. Lord, I don't know how to do this. I need you. So watch what happens here. Verse 11, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should... That's a good place. That's really a good place. To the first part, anyway. To the second and third degree, Moses went a little bit too far, all right? But in this part, it's good. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee. Oh, I like that. I like that. You're going to be with me. That means if you're with me and I'm in front of Pharaoh, where's God? Is he not in front of Pharaoh? I like that because, Lord, I don't know how to do this. He says, I will never leave you. I like that. So that means now, Lord, when I call upon you and I pray, Lord, send somebody, lead me to somebody to witness to, you're with me? I think that changes everything, don't you? I have seen people, I have been involved in situations where people were involved in witnessing to somebody and somebody else kind of just jumps right in the situation, another person, and just blows it. Just quenches the spirit. And you could just see it all over the face of that individual that was being witnessed to. They're just kind of repulsed. This person just kind of chimes and just kind of took over the show instead of realizing there was a work going on. And they infiltrated it. The other person infiltrated it and quenched the spirit, because it's not just a matter of presenting the truth. It's a matter of God and His Spirit guiding us and being with us. So notice what happens right here. So he says, certainly, verse 11 in the middle, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. That's good news. And Moses said, verse 13, unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name, and what shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. That was a good question. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. He said, that's what you're going to say to them. God does not get upset until he gives them everything he wants to do and is going to do through him. And then Moses said, don't do it. I don't know. Listen, we have a tendency to do that also. But the main thing is, very quickly, if we're going to meet with the Lord, we've got to first of all find the place where God can be found. That's the Bible. That's through prayer. And then we have to, we should expect the Lord's appearance if he's there. And he's promised to be there. And then we have to be concerned about what the Lord is interested in. Lord, show me. So tonight, God reminds us, ready? We can meet with him. He wants us to meet with him. And he will do a work in our lives that will glorify his name. He'll show us his way, reveal the truth to us, and it will be a blessing in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, for the reminder. Lord, we can meet with you. That is your will. And that as we seek you, Lord, we can count on you that we will find you, because you will reveal what you want us to see and understand. Bless us, we break off for prayer. And Lord, help us, Lord, in our faith that you've given to us, that we might believe wholeheartedly in all that you've given. And we'll praise and thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.